I'll be riding solo after that, and we want to get you involved at 216-474-0092. It'll be like an open hour for you guys. We'll just get as many of you guys in here as we possibly can. Obviously, we'll talk a lot about what happened with Class A and everything around the Guardians and that loss last night, G. Bush. I mean, my goodness. You want to talk about deflating.
Kate Smith.
I know. That's the saddest thing.
That's messed
up. Well, we all thought, like, if Class A isn't here, Kate Smith will be able to step up. And now Class A's not here, and Kate Smith just absolutely blew it last night. ERA ballooned up near 4, which is just how that works with relievers. Yeah. It kind of stinks. All right, let's go out and to the fan hotline and talk to our buddy Chris Jimenez, of course, of the Guardians TV, Guardians TV analyst, former big leaguer. He joins us here at 92.3 The Fan. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I've had better days than yesterday, but other than that, I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're good. Yesterday was a tough day for the Guardians, the Guardians fans all the way around. There's no denying that one. We'll start with the hard news then. Class A, break down the latest and what you see and just how serious this could be for the Guardians.
Well, I think, seriousness, we've seen there's been a little precedent for – we saw some minor leaguers or some fringe big league guys like this and had to miss an entire year. So both of these guys are implicated that they had anything to do with it. Wrong. I think you're looking at, the potential loss of both of these guys for upwards of an entire season. So from that aspect, it's extremely scary because Luis Ortiz has really good stuff, was starting to really come on a little bit, and then, bam, this comes out of nowhere to all of us, at least, and everybody's not thinking any way, shape, or form that anybody else could be connected to this. And then we find out that arguably the most important pitcher on our staff, not named Tanner Bibee, is, being put on the commissioner's exempt list for the same exact thing. So, yeah, this is a huge blow. Least. I'm sure the guys in the day, particular yesterday, with it being such a long day, what will just happen? Because I'm sure, like most of us, are gathering information, and I don't know much is really going to be coming out because there's an active investigation going on. So until anything really, comes down the line, we're really going to be left wondering what in the world just happened.
Yeah, you hear Chris Antonetti and you kind of hear the tone, that he had. And usually the Guardians, have had a aura of, they've already been known as a very respected front office. I think this is one of the first times I've ever heard Chris Antonetti sound like he was answering questions from the Cleveland Browns. this is that type of energy I reserved for the Cleveland Browns or maybe even Kobe Altman a couple years ago. But I mean, have you seen this type of stress on the organization before? I mean, it looks like they're taking this thing very seriously, obviously being without possibly one of their two best pitchers for a whole year or if ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's obviously on the docket. If they, we just saw Pete Rose, pass away, unfortunately, but he had a lifetime ban and he obviously was guilty of betting on baseball, and there's so much that still has to be found out. And obviously, we're still living in the United States of America where you're innocent until proven guilty. And let's hope on our side that, both of these guys are innocent. And it just happened to be kind of a crazy coincidence. Now, obviously, I have no idea if that actually happened or what the implication of both of these players are. But I think if you're Chris, this is an extremely serious situation. Now that there's multiple players in your organization that are being accused of something like this, it's a massive deal. And I've heard Chris's comments, and I think, truthfully, I feel like he's handled the situation pretty well because, to my knowledge, he was notified of this as he was driving back from Cooperstown, New York, to go out there for the Hall of Fame induction of our very own Tom Hamilton and CC Sabathia. So I'm sure it caught him off guard slightly in regards to the Emmanuel Clase thing. Now, I did hear some information that, they may have been, knowledgeable that this could have potentially been a situation. And I think I've heard the fact that, they've been very adamant that they were not going to trade Emmanuel Clase, at least publicly. You start to wonder, does this have something to do with it? And I think it's only, right to maybe insinuate that it did. And if it did, I think truly the organization deserves a lot of credit because, I know that's that sounds crazy, but could you imagine if they would have traded Class A? You know, the fans would have gone crazy to begin with, and then something like this comes out. You know, now you're looking at an organization that is looked down upon for a lot of different reasons, because did they have information that he was involved in something like this and then still trade the guy knowing that he could be implicated? So I think ultimately the organization has handled this the best they possibly can, because to me, this is kind of unprecedented. I don't think anybody in our organization's had to handle anything like this, nor should they have.
Yeah, it's at least the classy way to do it. If they would have traded him right, while understanding that something could be coming down, and then letting the other team carry that freight after making a big-time move, I don't know any other team in baseball could have made a deal with the Guardians moving forward.
Correct. I think you're absolutely right. And as much as, you know, you probably would have been tempted to be like, well, you know, the fact that we could maybe lose him for a potential, we might as well try to get as much as we possibly can for him. You know, the fact that they chose to take the higher road and not do something like that, I really think is extremely commendable. And I do believe that most, if not every general manager in Major League Baseball would have taken the same exact approach, but you never know. And I do think it shows that our organization is definitely on the up and up and are willing to, you know, maybe sacrifice the here and now until, you know, to not put somebody else out. And I personally appreciate something like that.
Chris Jimenez joining us here on Afternoon Drive, of course, Guardians TV and former Indian. Ken Rosenthal had the report that the Emmanuel Class A news will likely increase the Guardians' possibility of trading Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber by the end of the week. Do you think that's the smart move after seeing and hearing everything we've found out over the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know it sucks regardless to have those two guys' names being bandied about and trade, you know, conversations they have been regardless of where we've been at as an organization. I don't know if it, you know, 100% guarantees both of those guys will be traded, but I definitely think they're fielding a few more calls than they may have initially, you know, had to field in the first place. Just knowing that Class A was our best trade chip, truthfully. And I thought if you potentially paired him with somebody like Stephen Kwan, the return you could get back for those two guys in particular would have been astronomical and potentially even organization changing. Now, I think they would have only made the trade if it was truthfully organizational altering. I don't think it was a guarantee that either one of those or all three of those guys get traded, and I still don't necessarily think it is. I think they both have to be overwhelmed. I think Shane Bieber's probably one that's more likely to be traded than Stephen Kwan, just because of not only what Kwan means to the clubhouse, but to the organization and the fact that, you know, he's still going forward for the next 2 years a part of the organization, has a chance to be a part of it. Whereas Shane Bieber, you know, potentially could be a free agent next offseason. So you might as well, if there is a significant amount of interest, and truthfully there's been a dearth of starting pitching options on the open market, it makes sense to at least field those calls. But I'm not guaranteeing those guys get traded. I have heard that, you know, they're more willing to do so because those are their best trade chips. And if you're looking to help this outfield or this offense out, I know it sounds crazy to take Stephen Kwan out of it, but potentially, you know, what you could get back could actually benefit you more in the long run.
Let me look at this down the road, because I've been kind of looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, the Guardians organization. You know, say worst case scenario. You do miss Ortiz and you do miss Class A for an entire year. I talked about this a little bit. Is it crazy to think that not only Kwan might be something you look at, if you don't have Class A as your biggest trade chip, do you think they would ever in a million years think about moving Jose Ramirez?
Absolutely not. To be completely honest with you, I see your point. Truthfully, I really do. I think there would be a bigger revolt than when LeBron left Cleveland the first time, and things would be burning all over the place if they actually were to go through with something like that. I don't think the fan base would think and take too kindly to that. And honestly, I don't think they're really in a position that they have to consider something like that, at least right now moving forward. Now, in 2 or 3 years, you know, Jose's getting older. Maybe you start to see a bit of a decline, and there's really been nothing, you know, to say that he's going to decline in 2 or 3 years. But you look at his age and you could see, you know, how a 32 to 33 year old man could start to maybe decline a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe internally those conversations are happening. But I think Jose signing here when he did, for the amount of money he did, honestly, I think he was probably given some assurances that that wouldn't happen. And in my opinion, I think the organization holds true to that. I just think he's too much a part of the fabric of the organization to really have the rug pulled out on the fan base like that.
Chris, it looked like Shane Bieber had a good outing today. Had a lot of strikeouts in there. I don't know how much of the game you were able to catch or even see, but what is your reaction to at least the box score that Bieber looked good today?
Again, another great step in the right direction. Truthfully, I think at this point, I honestly would not care. Honestly, would not care if he gave up 10 runs. Truthfully, I think him getting through his pitch count and feeling healthy is a really, really positive sign. Now, the fact that he's obviously still doing really good and feeling healthy is an even better sign. So ultimately, this was a huge step in the right direction. Got himself up to about 50 pitches, and I think, you know, the next time he's out, he's probably in the 60 to 65 range. Because after that, we're looking at potential, you know, he could be activated if he's not traded. And hopefully, again, I hope he's not for our sake, because I think, you know, I think he wants to be back in a Guardian uniform. He wouldn't have signed back here if he didn't, truthfully. But I really feel like this was a huge step in the right direction and finally some positive news that this organization desperately needs right now.
Chris, last segment, G. Bush and I were debating. So I landed on Gary Sheffield as my all-time favorite batting stance. As a kid. G. Bush, who'd you settle on? Was it?
I like Mickey Settleton.
Okay. But you also you threw. I mean, we started going down.
Jay Buhner.
I think Frank Thomas was one of your big ones to begin with.
I was Frank Thomas.
Kept going down the rabbit hole of it. What was your all time favorite? Because you made it to the big league, so it's a little bit different. But you had to have, as a kid, done all of these things.
Yes, my two batting stances that I am, you know, just emulated the entire time. Mark McGwire, who's my favorite player of all time. He was an Oakland Athletic. I grew up there. Favorite player of all time, iconic, and then Ken Griffey Jr. I had Ken Griffey Jr., you know, cleats at the time. In high school, my junior and senior year, I had the little bat waggle like he did. I was trying to emulate him. Those two guys, that and Bo Jackson, was my favorite athlete of all time ever. I just think those are two plus Bo Jackson being easy ones to emulate.
The hat backwards from Griffey.
For sure. Just iconic.
The aqua blue Mariners jersey. Everybody had. Well,
what's
kicks.
Funny about that is so like I was listening to somebody over the weekend and they were talking about how like they were talking about Ichiro, but it's like in those '90s Mariners teams with Randy Johnson, with A-Rod, with all those guys, and then Griffey, and it's like we always talk about how the '90s Guardians, '90s Indians were the best team that never won, but there's so many teams in the '90s that were just stacked.
Yeah, Tino Martinez. I mean, they had a lot of guys, man.
They had a lot of guys, and they were really, really talented, both positionally wise and pitching. We forget Jamie Moyer made his career there. Was one of the longest tenured pitchers. Randy Johnson during that time. I mean, this was a group that it sucks that it didn't happen for those in the Pacific Northwest. And don't think for one second that I wasn't shy or upset that I had to or got the chance to go play for the Mariners. And I got to wear that aqua green jersey. That's still one of my favorite ones that I've ever had.
No doubt about it. Chris, we appreciate your insight as always. Very good stuff today, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
Appreciate
you. You got it, guys.
All right, our buddy Chris Jimenez right there on the Guardians TV. He's always good at breaking things down, but he gave an interesting reaction to what exactly the front office's role within this whole Guardians fiasco should be. We'll break that down and whether or not it does mean there's a fire sale coming as well. It's Afternoon Drive. John DePietro and Garrett Bush with you guys right here on The Fan.